As I was reading this earlier this morning, I was recalling a St. Patrick's Day. I was in Ireland, and I was flying home that morning from Dublin back here. And it was an early flight. Well, early by the time you go through all the customs and all of that, probably about 10. So I got all finished. I had to, because I had to leave so early, I hadn't had a chance to say Mass. So I said, where's the chapel? Can I say Mass? Oh, yeah, sure. Down that way. So I went down there, and of course, people, especially the Irish, have such a love for the Mass. Huh? I mean, every family in Ireland practically risked their whole life over and over again to hide the priests, huh? So they could have Mass. That's why they have such a love for priests, because so many of them risked their life and died to bring the Eucharist to God's people. It's also why, as somebody said, the Irish can't sing. It's because they can, though. But because they had to have a very quick Mass, had to be very silent. Now they don't have to do that, but they still have that habit of saying Mass very quickly. In fact, I said in a retreat once over there, now listen, you know, yeah, the English are coming, but they're only to use the beaches now. You know, you don't have to really say Mass that fast anymore. So anyhow, people saw me going toward the chapel. You know, good, a whole bunch of them went. And so, I don't remember what the gospel was, but I was so struck with this man. You know, you just heard the story. You know, he was born someplace in England, probably. And some Irish marauders came, got him, and sold him to slavery in Ireland. And he was a sheep tender up on the hills, and he managed to escape. Well, you'd think that'd be the end of his sojourn in Ireland. Instead, he went back. He went back to bring the news of Jesus Christ to them. And was a remarkable, remarkable person. My goodness. One great incident early in his life. Most of the land was pagan, like really pagan. And it so happened that one of the great pagan rituals took place on this time right after the vernal equinox. So it corresponded with the Easter Vigil one year. So Patrick, and no light could be lit, no fire could be lit in the country until the king had his fire lit on top of this mountain. Well, Patrick went right ahead and lit his before the king. And of course, the soldiers came from where they were and they got Patrick and they brought him back. And they were going to kill him. And he preached to that king. And that was the beginning of a real conversion of that whole part of Ireland. You know? He had guts. But what drove him, you see, was this love for people who had captured him and made him a slave. As I thought about that, and I thought, try to just put yourself into the mind of Jesus and see his gentleness. He has divine light in his mind, and he sees the evil of sin. We don't. He does. And how does he try to get us over that? Especially the sin of unforgiveness. He tells us this story. Just think of the light, of the love, of the creativity. This is the living, eternal Son of God trying to explain to us why we should forgive each other. And he does it by trying to give us some idea of what God has forgiven us. Just some idea of what sin is. We go right on sinning every day like it's nothing, you know? God, Jesus, is trying to show us, give us an idea of what sin is. So he tells this story, and even in the story, there's that gentle, moving exaggeration. This man here, the translators gave up trying to give us a figure. They just put down a huge amount. That doesn't do it. You know, this number, because of course money changes and rate of exchange, what kind of a number was this in the text? Well, not the national debt, because that's, nobody can count that. But it was like hundreds of billions of dollars. The richest man in the world at that time owned just about what this fellow in the story owes. And he says, give me time, I'll pay you back. There is no way he is ever going to pay that back. Now let the Holy Spirit impress on us what that means. There is no way we are going to pay him back. There's no way we're going to set the whole thing straight by our great penance and our great sorrow. And there's no way. And this fellow has the nerve to say, give me time, I'll pay you back. No way. So he goes to debtor's prison. This is the way they put them. He sold his house, his family, his wife, his kids. They're all sold, like Patrick. You know, that's the... And he says, oh, just give me a break. Move with compassion. That's important. It's not just an executive saying, okay, you know, you can be free of the debt. Imagine how rich this man must be if he says you can, you know, you're forgiven the national debt. I'll just write it off. You know. You must be pretty rich. And so, and then he wrote off the whole debt. Wrote it off. This is where we need the help of the Holy Spirit. Lord, can you show me how big my debt is to you? Or at least give me enough of an idea that I can stand it. Curie of Ars once asked the Lord, let me see my true state before you. And he said, I wouldn't advise that. When you're ready for it, the Lord will show you. I wouldn't advise that. I nearly went crazy. When I got it, when I saw who God is and my sins against God, infinite, powerful, creative, merciful, there is no way. It will be a blessing if the Lord shows you one day, but let him get you ready for it. Don't do what I did. I nearly went crazy. And here's Jesus trying to explain that to us with this story. But the punchline, remember, this is Peter. How many times am I supposed to forgive? You know? Seven? That's a lot. Peter, Jesus says, Peter, get smart, will you? Yeah, seven? 70 sevens. So then the fellow goes out, he finds a guy, owes him about $5,000. He grabs him, says, you pay me or you go to jail. The guy can't pay, says the same words. You know, give me a chance and I'll pay you back. No way. And he goes to jail. Poor guy. And he'll stay there until the family raises enough money to pay back the debt. That's the way it works, you know, in this culture. So, of course, his fellow servants are pretty sad. After just gotten forgiven the national debt, you can't forgive $5,000? Or at least give the guy a chance to pay it anything. So then he handed him over to the torturers and paid back the whole debt. Well, you figure how long it's going to take. That guy will have to have a long life. if he's going to pay back that debt. So will my heavenly Father do to you, unless each of you forgives your brother from your heart. Wow. I forgive, Lord, I forgive everybody, I forgive me. I don't want to go to jail for eternity. Just think of the mercy of Jesus, who is God, trying to impress upon us the liberating truth of the Father's love and mercy so that we can turn around and do the same.